Hey, what's up? It's Tabitha Whiteside. Hope you're having a good day. Today, I wanted to talk to you about the power of choice. In the last podcast we had, I talked about the it world and the you world and having to choose which one you're going to be involved in. If you were going to choose to let your spirit align with God's spirit, or if you're going to choose to let it align with your flesh spirit, your neutral spirit, or some other spirit. So just wanna really go in to that power of choice because I don't think that we really understand how powerful free will, ability to choose, this power. Like, I don't think we really understand how powerful it is. In fact, I know I don't because of the way that we interact with the world, the way that we go about it. Some things that we come up against, some things that we deal with. We just say, like, oh, that's just life. That's just the way it is. And we don't really, like, choose. We don't allow ourselves or realize that we are choosing how we interact with those situations, with those things that come up. When I say you have a power of choice, you do. You wholeheartedly have the ability to choose whether or not you are going to live in joy, in peace, in abundance, in alignment with God and His Spirit, or if you're going to choose to not do that. In every situation that you come up against, find yourself dealing with in whatever it is, however you want to say it. You have the ability to choose how you're going to interact with it. You have the ability to choose if it's going to make your day bad, if it's going to push you out of the energy, the flow of love, of peace, of joy, of gentleness, kindness, of self-control. You have that choice. Now, being in that, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have situations that are going to be really, really difficult to choose to deal with them in the way that God would deal with them. It does not mean that you're not going to have those hard situations. In fact, like we know as Christians, if you spent any time in God's word or any time in the church, like at some point, especially if you're raised within the church within the last 10 years or so, I would say 20 years, you would have heard it referred, like the verses referred to of Jesus saying, like, you will come up against trials and tribulations, you will be tested, you will be persecuted, you will have hard times. It's guaranteed, like, you will have a situation in your life that you're going to have a difficult time choosing how to interact with it. You just are. It's just because you find the way to be in joy and abundance and peace and gratitude and love doesn't mean that it's not going to be a struggle sometimes to be in that realm. It's such a beautiful place to be, but it's so counteractive, I want to say, to human nature. Like it is not our natural state. It is definitely supernatural to be in a state of joy, of peace, of abundance, of love and gratitude and all the good things that are in the world. It is supernatural to be in that state. It is where you see God move. So you have the choice of whether or not you're going to be in that or not, if you're going to be in that state or not. One thing that I think is really cool, and I don't think a lot of people recognize, is that there were two trees. There were two trees at the beginning of creation in the Garden of Eden. There was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the one that we focus so much time and energy on, the one that the only one we were instructed on not eating as humans, to not take of that fruit. We were given a direction, an order, an action to do, which was to not eat of the fruit, right? And we ended up as humans, as a collective, falling from grace. We ate of the tree. We did the one action that we weren't supposed to do. There are consequences to it. There's a lesson involved. When you take an action that's not the directed action given by God, there's consequence. There's a lesson. And there are lessons in taking the actions that are given from God, too, just so we're clear. But the other tree there were no mandates on was the tree of immortality, the tree of life, right? So from the very beginning, from the very first moment of creation, we have always had a choice. We have always had the choice of whether or not we want to be with God, in complete communion with God, eternally with God, or not. If we want to go off and do our own thing. And since the fall, it is human nature to go off and do our own thing, to think that we know best. But the truth is, we don't. And it's so cool to me that God cared enough to give us that choice. But then, let's take it a step further. The reason why we can't go to the Garden of Eden anymore is because he didn't want us to forever be away from him. He wanted to guard us from being able to eat the fruit of the tree of life, of immortality. Because once we ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we disobeyed, we became separated. So in this state of separation, at this point in time, when that happened, there wasn't a way. There wasn't a bridge, a spirit, an intercessor. There wasn't a way for us to get back with God. So if we had taken a bite from the fruit of the tree of life, of immortality, then we would be forever separated from God. So he said, I care for you. I want to be in communion with you. I want my spirit to be able to interact with your spirit, but right now I don't have that ability. Not that God isn't able to do that, but we as humans didn't have a way to do it. We as humans were the ones who were flawed. But he is a merciful God. Said, I will make a way. This is not it. I do not want to be forever separated from you. You are my creation. You are my beloved. So, now as humans, we have this fight within us that is spiritual, on whether or not we're going to choose to kind of be in this Garden of Eden of life and either eat of the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or eat of the fruit of the tree of life. every single day, you get to decide whether or not, or let me say, you get to decide who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve God? Or are you going to serve yourself? Or whatever other spirit you're involved with, right? You get to make that decision every day. And on top of that, you get to make that decision. And you do make that decision every single second of every single day. Everything that you interact with, everything that you do is in alignment with a spirit. It's either the infinite spirit, the almighty spirit, the God spirit, the Holy Spirit, or your own spirit. Now I have an idea about the spirit realm, and I'm not quite sure where it sits in mysticism or other places. It's just kind of what I've seen, what I've dealt with. So if you like the idea, cool. If you have problems with it, message me. Let's have a conversation, because I'm not saying that I'm right on this matter. Because this is me, Tabitha, in a somewhat flawed human knowledge. There are things that I know to be true, and those things are found in the Bible and with God's word. Anyways, I see the spirit realm with three spirits involved. Three types of spirits, I should say. There is the good, the neutral, and the bad. That's how we'll go about it. So the good spirit, obviously, I would think you should get, would be the Holy Spirit or God's angels. I think they would be on the good side, but the main one that we deal with is God's own spirit, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call it, source, infinite, divine, whatever, God's spirit. The one true God spirit. Then there's the neutral spirit, which I think is kind of the natural state for human spirits. I don't think that we are, I'm not altruistic, really. I think that human nature, human spirits have the ability to choose which way they're going to lean, good or bad. And then the bad spirit is all the fallen angels, Satan, demons, the people, the spirits who thought, who interacted, badly. I'm trying to be cautious on what words I use, because there's, when it comes to these evil spirits, the language that's involved around them can be kind of it can be difficult to use the right words, so, and to get the message, the point across without going into some weird stuff. So, in that understanding, we as humans have a millisecond every single second you get to decide where your spirit is going to lie. Going to go on this line of good and bad. And I just think I'm meaning to, I'm consciously not using the word evil as the opposite of, or for the description of the bad spirits in the world, of Satan, demonic spirits in the world. And I'm using it, I'm not using evil. I'm being cautious about, or conscious about using the word evil to describe these spirits, because if we have good and evil, then those are opposing forces. And those forces, if they're opposing, then they would be equal to, right? And the fact is, there is nothing equal to God's spirit. There is nothing equal to this good, holy spirit in the world. There's nothing equal to it. So I will not put them on the same plane. But as humans, we get to decide whether or not we're going up or down, basically. Are we going up to be in alignment with God's spirit, or are we going down to be in alignment with the demonic spirits? Or we're just gonna stay in the middle. And you might be thinking, what's so wrong with the middle? Well, my friend, the middle is simply existing. It's simply just being here on this earth, doing the things that you don't really care to do, not finding full fulfillment, full love, full joy, full of abundance, full peace, full truth. It's not finding those. It's still being separated from God. We in this Western world, in our culture today, we have this idea that the opposite of love is hate, or the opposite of good is evil. And the thing is, that is wrong. And it's the wrong way of thinking about the world. Here's why. The opposite of love is not hate, because both have a strong emotion attached to them. Both care deeply about something, whether it is for or against. There's deep-rooted passion in either loving something or hating something. You either love you either love eating meat or being a omnivore, or you hate it. You either love dairy milk or you hate it, right? Like, you're either like, yeah, let's go cow milk because that's quote unquote normal, or no, thank you. You know, you have some, and those are kind of lame examples, but you kind of get what I'm saying. So we have this idea that love, the opposite of love is hate, and it's not true. The opposite of love, or the opposite of hate, is indifference, is apathy, is not doing anything, is just existing, is just being. So, while you can choose that human nature to just be, you are choosing apathy when it comes to life. You are choosing indifference. You are choosing to not see more. You can toe the line of God and other, or choose one wholeheartedly. Now, if I were to give you a suggestion, if I were to say, hey, you want a really, really good life here on this earth? Do you want to run the race? Do you want to feel purpose and meaning? Do you want to feel what life is meant to feel like? Do you want to know what it was like to be in true, complete communion, connection with God? Do you want a little bit of a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like? Do you want a little bit of a glimpse of what it was like in the Garden of Eden before humans ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Do you want to see just a speck of what that was like? Then choose to be in communion with God. Choose love. Like I'm saying, it's a constant choice that you have to make. An example, a real life example, and I am not tooting my own horn with this because it was a real difficult situation for me to choose how God would deal with it. But I was requested to do a job anyway. I was offered a certain amount of money to do it. And I guess there were requirements in order for me to get all of that money to do this freelance job. And I don't think that was really like clear to me in the beginning because I did as much as I was allowed to do, in a sense. Like, I was supposed to shoot and edit on a piece, and I was only able to shoot one of the video shoots that were there, that ended up being scheduled. I did not know that there were going to be more than one shoot. And on top of that, the second shoot, there were two dates to use to go with. And it was me. There were three people trying to coordinate what day was going to be best. The guy leading this decided to go with the date that the other guy was going to be available. So I couldn't be there for that second shoot. Then when it came to editing, I didn't get any footage, and there was barely an effort to get me footage. It was kind of just dependent on stuff that I had that, like, in order for me to get this footage. So, what I mean by that is I have one of those WD MyCloud external hard drives, but where my husband and I live now, the internet providers that we have aren't the greatest, so it doesn't always connect like it should. So I ended up just it's directly connected to my computer. Anyways, me getting the footage was kind of dependent on that being like on this person being sending me the stuff because didn't have enough space on the other sort of online cloud providers, be it Google Drive, be it OneDrive, be it Dropbox. So it wasn't enough space. Anyways, this is a long explanation to tell you that I recently asked for the rest of what I was offered to do the job. Because to me, I did everything that I was allowed to do. No, I didn't edit, but that wasn't my fault. I was wanting to edit, but I can't edit if I don't have footage. And I don't have footage because you didn't send me any footage to edit to besides what I shot on my own personal camera. Right? Which wasn't a lot. It's not that great because I was a master shot. like basically just a master shot. And we were mainly using my stuff for the audio. Anyways. Reel it in. So I asked for the rest of my money that I was offered to do a job, because to me, I did everything that I was given to do. And the guy said, well, wait, you didn't do everything, you didn't edit, so I can't pay you the same as I paid this other guy that we worked with, because he essentially did more than you. And I was like, I get that he did more, but it wasn't my fault that he did more. Like, you didn't send me more to do. So, this situation is easy for me to just go off on this guy. Like, just be like, you know what? I'm never working with you again. I could say, like, all of these negative things. I could think all these negative things. I could really go in. I could do a lot with the fact that I have proof of how much he offered me to do. There wasn't any written out explanation, expectancy on what that amount is for, or what it was. Hey, I'll pay you $200 to do this job. Okay, cool. Right. But I could, like, really make this guy's life awful. And make my life awful, because I choose to go down the rabbit hole of following these other spirits that push me away from the spirit of love, right? From the spirit of understanding, from the spirit of peace, from the spirit of grace, of mercy, of all the good that is in the world, right? Of good. I could easily, and I really fought to not go down that the opposite way of anger, of frustration. I was a little annoyed, and I was honest. I am annoyed, and it wasn't annoyed at not getting the money, because it wasn't a lot of money, and it's not about the money. It's just about the fact that you said that you're going to pay me to do a job, and I did everything that you requested me to do, that you gave me to do. I did it all without fighting. I didn't throw a fit when you logged me out. Like, of all these things, talking about it's still frustration. It's still easy for me to go into that other spirit. So I'm choosing to wish him the best. I'm choosing to still be open to working with him if it's what God wants. If there's a situation, if there's a job that comes up where this guy and I need to work together in order to advance God's kingdom, and in order to push his spirit further into the world, I'm open to it. I am not going to allow myself to be so mad at this guy for not communicating with me, for expecting that I was going to be just okay with not getting the rest of the money that we agreed on. And that is a fight, because for me, it is so easy. It is so almost natural for me to be very angry, very dismissive, and very spiteful in these sort of situations. I'm not typically a spiteful person. When I mean spiteful, I mean, like, for me personally, it's, well, good for you. Like, I'm not going to fight you on this because it's not, like, at the end of the day, money is, like, not that big of a deal. But I'm never going to work with you again, and you're probably not going to do well. Because if this is the way that you treat somebody, then that says a lot about you. So, and your spirit, like, that's what I would fall into. That's what I fight against, personally, not thinking negatively, not judging someone's spirit based on the way that they conduct themselves. It's not my place to judge that, right? And here's what I'm in control in. Choosing to love you. Choosing to wish you the best. Choosing to say, okay, well, this is frustrating. I'm not going to fight you on this money. I'm not going to fight with you on this situation any longer. But maybe I can offer a bit of advice that hopefully you will heed to and will reflect on, so that when you work with somebody else and a similar situation comes up, you say, hey, I know how to deal with this. So here's my advice. Don't just assume somebody is on the same page as you. Have a conversation. Let them know what you're thinking. If you have requested their services and you don't let them fulfill their services, let them know that you're not going to pay, or that you're not going to do something. And make sure that you guys are both on the same page so that they understand and they don't think that you're stiffing them out. And they don't think that, like, they understand, like, hey, if I want to get paid everything that we agreed on, then I have to make sure that I fulfill everything. I have to fight in order to be able to do everything we agreed on, right? And now he can do whatever he wants with that. He gets to decide whether, like, what spirit he's going to align himself with. And I get to choose, I have to choose which spirit I'm going to align myself with. So again, like, it is a constant battle, but it should be a no-brainer. Of course I want to be with the spirit of God. Of course I want to be in alignment with the spirit of love, of abundance, of peace, of joy, of gratitude. Of course I want to be with that. Like, who wouldn't want to be in alignment with the spirit of life? Of God's Holy Spirit? Really, who wouldn't want to be in alignment with that? But it's not easy. It's not an easy choice to say, you know what, flesh spirit or other spirit that's trying to, like, get me to follow you, go hide under a rock. Go. Get away from me. I am going to choose to be in this joyful state. I'm going to choose to love. I'm going to choose to extend grace, to extend an olive branch. I am going to extend understanding and realize that I am not in control of everyone else. I'm in control of me. But I can work on viewing a situation from somebody else's point of view. I understand this guy in the situation, he's not tied to his phone. He's not tied to like virtual communication, which is the way that we like had to communicate. He doesn't have a Facebook Messenger on his phone. I mean, he had my phone number, but anyways, I get it. He's not like tied to virtual communication, and that was the way in which we were communicating mainly, because we live in two separate cities. So I get it. I get that it was just a product of the way that this guy is, and that he has a lot going on. I get it. I'm not mad at the situation. It's just, the situation is what it is, and I get to decide what the outcome's going to be. So I hope that you understand that there is a real power in choice. There is a real power in deciding how you will interact with situations. You will have situations that it is difficult for you to show love, to be in peace. You will. I'm not going to tell you that it is easy to choose love. It's kind of not. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes there are situations that you get to deal with, that you get to be in, that it's just kind of like your whole body is just like, yeah, this is so easy for me. This is it. This is what I wake up for in the morning. There are situations in life, and they are beautiful situations, where you can have that kind of ease in flowing with the spirit of love and God, with God's spirit. But those other spirits don't want you to be in that alignment. Your own flesh spirit sometimes doesn't want you to be in that alignment. Like, it wants you to just kind of float through, because floating through in the means that you are like everyone else. You're not sticking out. You get to exist like everybody else, and you don't have to put in too much effort. But there is more. There is more for you to experience than just existing. And it is a beautiful fight to be in, to let yourself to choose to fall into the hands that want to let you float through life with true peace, with true joy, with truth, with true abundance, with true life. You get to decide if you're going to fall into those hands, if you're going to align with God's spirit or not. And you have to make a decision. Even if your decision is to not make a decision, to not choose good or bad, that's still a choice. So with that, I hope you got a little bit of insight, a little bit of breakthrough. Let me know. Find me on Instagram at Tabitha_Whiteside, or you can like my Facebook page at Tabitha Whiteside. No, like seriously, message me. Let me know if you got some insight. Let me know, this kind of stuff, I love having conversations about. So send me something. Let me know. All right. May God grant you peace. May He grant you grace. May He grant you love. Have a good day, guys.